Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, filthy animals. It's Ben Vanel here dropping in once again before the episode starts to remind you we've got a live show on sale. That's right, Adam, Tommy and myself, along with potentially special guests, will be performing live at the European Beer Cafe at 4 p.m. on September the 15th. So get your tickets at filthycasuals.com.au or check our socials for links to those tickets and we'll see you there.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me as always...
Hey, filthy animals, it's Ben Vanel here, fit and firing, ready to go for another podcast. And joining us, as always, looking at his phone, it's...
Smell that mid-August air, boys. It's me, Adam Knox.
Hello, Adam. You guys are both wearing hats.
Mm. I'm wearing a beanie. Mm. Is that a hat? Is anything that goes on your head a hat?
I believe so.
I'd say so.
It's headwear.
Is every piece of footwear a shoe?
Yes.
So is a boot a shoe?
Yes.
Is one of them tennis rackets you wear in the snow a shoe?
Yes.
Is a thong a shoe?
Yes.
Yeah, yes, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a type of shoe. It's like a border collie is a dog, but it is a dog.
This is a shoe in for worst riff you've ever done on the top of the show.
Is a sock a shoe?
No, it's a sock.
Yeah.
Then why is it on my foot? Over my shoe.
It's a piece of clothing, not a piece of footwear.
I don't believe a beanie is a hat. It's a beanie. It's a headpiece.
A balaclava is not a beanie. Is not a hat. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. And a balaclava is just a beanie that you pull down over your face. I don't know if there's been a change in the sound of my voice.
He's given us a visual interpretation of this by pulling the beanie over his head. Yeah. As if you think we're so dumb that we can't imagine what a balaclava looks like on you.
Dude, I don't remember it because I always remember things based on who I saw doing it, and I don't remember the faces of any person I've ever seen wearing a balaclava.
Okay, right.
Okay, what about the cloth face man? Now that hurt my ear.
You can't be seeing the face of a person wearing a balaclava.
That's true.
That's what I was on about here in mid-August.
Looking forward to getting some tweets about this episode. Mm-hmm. Feel free to tweet us here in mid-August about balaclavas and whether a beanie is a hat and whether a sock is a shoe.
Yes.
Do this in mid-August to all three of us because we'll definitely remember having conversation that we're currently having in mid-August.
Man, how about them August rains we're getting here in the UK where I am?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It'll be summertime in the UK.
Weird August rains. Yeah. It's coming home.
It's going to be a bit of the Neil Diamond special.
What does that
hot
mean?
August nights.
Is that a song that he did?
It's an album, isn't it?
I don't know.
I don't reckon I could pick Neil Diamond out of a lineup. I have no idea what that guy looks like.
I know what he looks like.
Yeah, I know what he looks like because he's in the movie. Have you ever seen Evil Woman, as it was called here in this country?
No.
In the States, it was called Saving Silverman. Jason Biggs.
A very different name.
Yeah, yeah, totally different name. Jason Biggs, Jack Black, and Steve Zahn.
What a lineup!
I believe Amanda Peet, was that her name?
From A Whole Nine Yards.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's who's in it. So
she is now married to one of the co-creators of the Game of Thrones series.
Really?
Yeah. Really?
Wow. Don't remember which one. One of the Bs.
George R. R. Martin.
That's the guy.
But it's concept-wise, it's dated pretty poorly.
Right.
It's three best mates. They all love Neil Diamond. And then one of them, Jason Biggs, starts dating this woman, Amanda Peet. And the other boys don't like her. They're like, this woman is a bit of a bitch. She's controlling our friend. We got to try and break them up. And then the whole movie is just them trying to break up this this yeah, this couple.
Wow.
Why do they like Neil Diamond?
They're all obsessed with Neil Diamond, and one of the things she makes him burn all his Neil Diamond records.
Oh, no.
And then there's a big I think they're about to get married or something. It's a bit, you know, The Graduate where they're like racing to break up there's some big event that they have to race to stop. Mm-hmm. And they run into Neil Diamond on the way to his concert, and he's like, "A fan needs me." And he kind of gets involved in the mix. It's just one of those things where it's like, geez Louise, what was, like, why did he say yes to this? Like,
Neil Diamond had some weird contract, like, clause where they had to make a movie involving him.
Oh, it was like they both work for Universal. Yeah. Like, it'll be that, yeah.
Who do we have on the books? Mm. Close their eyes and throw a dart at the books and go, I wrecked the book. I can only remember Neil Diamond's phone number. I shouldn't have thrown that dart.
9 times out of 10 with that, it's like there'd be 4 different drafts of the script before where they had other people in. It's like, well, we can't get Vanilla Ice. Who else is out there?
Right, yeah. Fuck, Ice would be good though.
Ice would be good.
Yeah.
Adam Sandler loves a bit of that. Some smoking some meth.
Yeah, yeah. Adam Sandler loves what? Meth.
Adam Sandler loves getting weird celebrities in his films as themselves. Sure. And the plot kind of hinging on, look, Vanilla Ice is over there being Vanilla Ice.
Right.
Wow,
right.
He saved the day.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that do that, though, to be fair. Just get a person in and use them as themselves, but it's like, it's iced tea, but with magic powers.
Sure. Terry Crews in all those ads.
Yeah, and in Crackdown.
And in Crackdown.
Yeah. It's just Terry Crews still.
Yeah.
Like, maybe that man can't act.
I mean, he's only ever acted the same way.
Yeah.
I've never seen a movie where he's been like, I don't know, a dog stuck in a human's body or whatever. Something difficult. That would also act a lot like Terry Crews.
Yeah.
Whoa, look at that bird.
The Simpsons loves it. The Simpsons loves just people being in there. You know what I was thinking the other day? Here in mid-August, they've just the other day gotten those Thai boys out of that cave.
Yes.
Here in mid-August.
Yes, yep. We all remember it well from yesterday.
My memory is a little bit hazy of it because it was, about a month ago?
I'll never forget it. Where were you when it happened?
Well, it feels like just yesterday. You know, Elon Musk turning up, the whole thing kind of did remind me a bit of when Bart gets stuck down the well in The Simpsons.
Yes.
And Elon Musk turning up was like, you know, when Sting is there and he's just like digging through. Yes. No, well, one of my fans needs me. Yes. I'm sure there was a part of Elon Musk thinking like, those boys are going to be so stoked when I hop out of this submarine.
Yeah.
They just would have been like, who the fuck's this?
Yeah, I'm going to tweet that thought tomorrow. Come mid-August.
On August the 20th.
Here in mid-August.
You're going to travel like an idiot. Back in time by a month to tweet that thought.
Boys, what are we doing for my birthday in a week?
We're going to Disneyland, aren't we?
You and I are going to Disney World.
Yeah. You're literally going to you're going to be in Japan next week. But right now I'm in the UK.
Yes.
The United Kingdom.
The line is really clear, by the way.
And so...
How's Brexit going over there?
Oh, man. It's constantly changing.
Okay. Yep.
So who knows? The news yesterday on August the 17th or whatever is probably different to the news today on August the 18th or whatever.
Absolutely. Yep. Constantly shifting.
So you'd hope. I mean, if the news came out and it was just exactly, imagine that, just this, the exact same newspaper from one day to the next. Wow. Just they literally just reprint all the stories.
God, that'd be.
All the same stuff just happened again.
That happened in a Bill Murray movie once, Ghostbusters. Anyway, I'm in the UK, so we thought we'd take a look at some games developed over here where I am in Old Blighty and surrounding countries.
Well, look, fair enough. We're going to let you have this one, but given that Ben and I are currently in Japan, we're going to have to insist that sometime in late August, you let us do an episode about Japanese games.
How about multiplayer games?
I feel like that one might be kind of hard to make interesting.
It's just fun for us, and that's all that counts.
Oh, yes.
They always say the best movies are the ones that are made when all the cast is just having a great time the whole time.
This is the grown-ups of podcasts.
Exactly.
So we've got a list here. It is an article from...
It's The Guardian?
The Guardian. A British publication.
That's right.
For a United Kingdom-focused episode.
Mm. Yep. Reputable local rag.
Yes.
The Guardian.
Yes. Hey, man, I love them really topless politicians on page 3 that they've got there.
That would be very funny if you, when you're in the UK, like today, just go in and, you know, pick up a copy of The Guardian and just slam it down on the newsagent's counter and go, just a copy of the local rag, thanks, mate.
Okay, I'll do that.
Also, we decided not to do the Suns' top 30 British games, which was just BMX Triple X, Leisure Suit Larry,
Halo 4. The 30 greatest British video games is what this is. So it's not the entirety of the United Kingdom. It's an England special, and I'm in Scotland right now, so this is kind of a little neighbouring of where I actually am, but it's the UK.
It's the good thing that, like, Scotland and England just love each other and there's no animosity there as well.
Oh, dude, yeah. Definitely. And in the last month, that would have only gotten better. I mean, arguably, in this current month.
This is arguably a big waste of everyone's time. Let's dive in, fellas.
All right. There's a lot more games developed in Britain than I realised before looking at this article. Like, before we dive into it, I think that everyone associates Rare with the UK, and everyone, I feel like, kind of knows that the GTA games are from over there.
The two brothers and the other guy are all British.
The houses.
Yes.
Are there any other things that jump out in your head as being like, oh, that's an English game?
Shit weather simulator.
Not really. Not really.
Cooking Mama, but with bad food.
Yes. Yes.
Cooking Madam.
All right, gentlemen, set phases to banter and let's get into it.
So these are in no particular order. Oh no, they're in alphabetical order.
Knox never learnt the alphabet. That would be
So do you wanna go through these, Tommy, or what are we doing here?
Look, I'd absolutely love to. I'll take the reins on this one. All right, so Batman Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, it starts strong.
Mm. I had no idea that the Rocksteady was British. Good on him for doing it. Batman is a it's
good
so,
on him.
Yeah. No, well, hey.
Let's move on to the next game.
I can't see how it's going to get better than that.
Yeah. And I imagine this will be a through line of these. Mm-hmm. They're all very American British games. Like, culturally.
Right, right.
This is a game set in, well, is Batman in America?
Yeah, Gotham. Yeah. Gotham City.
Is that in America, though?
Yes.
In the comics?
Yes.
Well, I didn't know if they had something called, like, Shmamerica.
No.
Because it's Gotham and Metropolis instead of
Superman,
what,
is, like, the greatest American hero.
Yeah, I guess so.
They all talk in American accents.
They all exactly.
Does New York exist?
Yes, because Spider-Man's New York. Oh, no, but he's Marvel.
Yeah.
I think it does.
Is Gotham... Where's Gotham?
Isn't Gotham meant to... No, Metropolis is meant to be New York.
And sort then Gotham's of like Chicago or something.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure New York is referenced in the movies.
So then is there New York and then down the road it's like, oh, here's Metropolis as well. And it's basically New York.
I think so. Yeah. I should know this. I've read a lot of these comics.
I'm starting to think comics might be a little silly.
No.
But so Batman Arkham Asylum especially... is one of the best games of that generation. Mm. And it, like, I am stunned that it's British.
Mm.
Not because of the quality of it, but because it is such an American thing.
That's what you're saying.
All the voices are fucking super American. Everything about it, for that revolutionary of a game in a lot of ways.
That's what I was going to say. It really, it took licensed superhero games from being the worst games, basically, that was it's still, one of the best games ever made. Like, it's really super tight. It's
people,
so good.
Especially the combat ape what it did so regularly still.
Wait a minute. Combat Batman Manchester.
Oh shit.
Wow.
Chester Zoo, which isn't in Manchester.
Zoo Magazine, my favorite magazine.
Big Tits. Tit Mouse. Mouse Trap. Trap Door. Dawkins.
Richard Dawkins.
There is no God.
Boys, we've fucking gotten onto something here.
Yeah, wow.
Like that Spider-Man game that's coming out soon looks to have Batman combat.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
So, what, 8 years, 9 years after the release of Arkham Asylum, Spider-Man is essentially a clone of that game.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, it's that game with like Watch Dogs thrown in. Yeah.
What was what was Rocksteady's pedigree before they? Before they did these?
That's a good question.
That is a very good question.
Because they've done
no
all of them, right? There was one a couple of years ago.
Arkham Origins, I don't think they did.
Yeah, that was... And there's a couple of, like, there's a mobile one and a DS one or something like that.
Right.
But Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, and Arkham Knight, they definitely did. And those are, all three really
Arkham
good
games. Arkham Knight is what I'm thinking of, I think. PS4, 3 years ago or something? Yeah.
Batmobile was in it.
They've been kind of off the radar for a while too, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
They are working on something, you'd assume. Maybe since I'm over here in the UK, I'll take a trip down to England from here in Scotland, where
yes,
I am.
Yes,
and I will knock on their door and go like, hey, what are you doing?
And they'll be like, hey,
how did you get in?
Yeah, what are they? I'm trying to look up what else they've made.
Urban Chaos Riot Response was the only game they made before Batman Arkham Asylum.
Wow, someone at DC must have fucking crapped their dacks over that one.
Yeah, took a chance, like took a punt. Because like they, have made a fantastic game.
Urban Chaos, something that little man by the name of the Joker loves creating.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe just on title alone, DC were like, these guys absolutely get it.
Okay, well, London Riots. It all ties in.
I want to know how I got the rights to this game.
My father was a drinker and accidentally signed something. Do you want to hear a little quick description of Urban Chaos for the PS2?
Yeah.
The player controls Nick Mason, a member of the newly formed T-Zero Riot Response Squad. Anyway, let's move on. that seems like it's the only thing they did. But in the context of the time, some sort of, I don't want to say shitty development studio, but an unknown development studio being given the rights to a comic book game, not that big of a deal.
Yeah, it was no risk at that point in time.
Exactly.
Yeah. And do you think because they're all so shitty at the time that, you know, DC is like, whatever, it's going to turn out like a piece of crap anyway, like they
exactly.
all do. Some 10-year-olds will buy it and then they're like, bugger me down.
Yeah.
These mad poms have actually done it.
Guys, this game is too good. Can you please make it worse?
Yeah.
And like, when we port it to PC, that's when we'll make it worse.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So a lot of the employees of Rocksteady were from Argonaut Games.
Okay.
Who made Croc.
Oh, yes.
Which I don't believe will be a game that's showing up on this list of the 30 best British games.
I remember playing Croc. I had maybe the demo on PlayStation.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was fine.
Yeah.
It was just a Mario 64 clone. Yeah. Yeah.
So they made a Catwoman game, the Argonaut people, as well. So there's some Catwoman lineage there, I suppose, up to Batman, which makes a lot of sense.
Right.
In what way?
Yeah, how?
Because Catwoman is in Batman, near New York.
Get a load of this nerd.
Why is there no Catman?
Because it's 2018.
Oh, sorry.
My dude. Cool. Male cats are dogs. Batman Arkham Asylum, still a good game, I would wager. I haven't played, but I played Arkham Knight, which is basically the same thing.
I played the remastered version on PS4.
Oh, right.
It's fucking great still.
Sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember loving it. Whichever one I played was either that or it might have been City, actually.
Mm. Yeah.
It was the second one. And what a good time.
Yes.
Three great games. Origins is meant to be like undervalued as well.
I really like Origins. I think the story is the best of them all.
It's set at Christmas, right?
Yeah.
Do they still have Christmas in Batman?
Shit, yeah, they do.
Is there Halloween?
Yeah, I think so.
Pretty risky. You don't want people walking around in a bunch of masks.
I know. It's already tempting enough.
Burnout Paradise.
Oh. Moving on.
Yeah.
Burnout Paradise.
This recently, right?
Oh, yeah.
Just got re-released.
Yeah. It's such a good game. All the Burnout games. Fucking awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to get it. I'm going to get that remaster that came out recently.
I'm not sure. I didn't end up getting the remaster. I feel as though there may be some reason not to.
No, I played it. It was like it didn't necessarily feel like a huge upgrade in terms of a remaster. Mm-hmm. Like it just kind of felt like I was playing the original game.
Yep.
The original game's good though.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, yeah.
Cool.
It's good.
Is it Criterion who made them?
Yep.
I, for a long time, thought the Criterion Collection, as in the film stuff, was in some way involved with them.
No.
Are they still going, those Criterion collections?
Of course they are.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Don't say it like I'm the fucking dumbest man alive.
Why would they have stopped
no
it?
No one's buying DVDs now.
Yeah, but it's for the collectors.
Yeah.
It's like it's books, you know?
Blu-rays,
like,
yeah. Exactly. You don't need to buy a book anymore because learning's fucking lame.
Yeah, well, fuck me then.
That's not why.
No, I wish I was dead.
So they make the Need for Speed games now, Criterion. Right.
I really like the Need for Speed games now. There's a few on the PS4 that you can get that are all really good. They're sort of that arcadey mix, you
right.
know?
Right. I thought they were meant to have gotten kind of dog shit over the last 2-3 years.
Well, maybe I haven't played one in 2 or 3 years, but there was definitely one on the PS4 that I've got, maybe Payback or something, but it's great. Like, it's got really good races, really sort of long-form races where you have to, like, survive and the cops are after you and the power-ups and shit are all really good. Like, it's, right. yeah, I think they're really good games.
They also apparently were approached by Nintendo of Europe to create, to work on a pitch for a new F-Zero game.
Oh. God damn.
This is in 2015. And it was going to be for the Wii U. And obviously they either said no or Nintendo said, this looks bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I believe the more recent... Oh, okay. They worked on Star Wars Battlefront 2 apparently as well.
Shit.
Criterion. But yeah, they're mainly the Burnout games. And do you remember Black? It was like it was meant to be Burnout but for shooters. And it came out in like 2005. PS2 and the Xbox. It was really hot. I never ended up playing it.
Yeah.
But it was meant to be, I guess, sort of like almost like John Wick or something is now. It's like fast sort of, no, not John Wick, but whatever. Like, imagine Burnout is to racing.
Yeah.
Put that onto shooters. That's what Black was meant to be. No, you're going to have to.
Yeah. I was hoping for a description.
Never going
to
happen.
I was really desperate to get some more clarity around this.
It's not because I can't describe it. It's because I just don't want to right now.
Why did you bring this up when you haven't played it and you barely seem to know what it is?
Because I'm looking over 10 years ago. I'm looking at a Wikipedia article and I'm not going to not say anything on here.
Do you guys remember Black? Because I certainly don't.
Once you go black, I forget.
I haven't played Black, so maybe I'll go back.
Yeah, okay. I wish we could.
No, you're all right. All right, moving along. Cannon Fodder.
No idea.
Now, this sounds familiar. I feel like maybe I played like a demo of this at some stage.
Oh, before we go on, Burnout Paradise, Batman Arkham Asylum, deservedly in top 30 games.
Yep.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yep. Cool. Yeah, Cannon Fodder. So it is a top-down shooter.
Yeah, you have like a little squad of guys who you move around with the mouse. It was for the Amiga originally,
right?
Which was a very British computer. Like that and like the Acorn and those sort of things. British computers back in the day are so funny.
Right.
The ZX Spectrum.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just the fact that they only really succeeded there and the rest of the world was like, fuck you.
Yeah.
I'm playing a Commodore, which has the most British name.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
But anyway, they,
Have you played it?
I've played some of it in one of the versions. It's one of those ones where it's been re-released so many times over the course of recent history.
Sure.
I mean, not ancient history.
No.
There's no stone tablets with it on. But,
recent history, like, for example, the beginning of August 2018.
Yeah.
Yes.
Weird. I don't remember that happening recently.
Oh, okay.
Here in August.
Just describe what happened yesterday.
Yesterday in on August. The
15th or 16th of August.
There was a guy in Edinburgh who beat up a bunch of people in the street.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And his name?
He was wearing a beanie. That's all they know about him.
Wow, type of hat.
Not a balaclava?
Not a hat. That's what it was about. But it's yeah, kind of a point-and-click shooter thing from top-down, and you've got to avoid, like, my memory of it is that you have to use cover quite a lot. Because sort of one of those you die in a couple of shots type things.
Right.
Right.
It had a very catchy song that would play in the intro and like in between stuff. It had sort of like a weird like poppies everywhere. World War One kind of imagery. Sure. And like that's kind of all I remember about it. But it is one of those ones where people who played it at the time especially do sort of revere it as like this very good game for the time.
Okay.
Something that I love, a quite cartoony approach where when you fall over and die, you are replaced by a little tombstone pops up immediately. Now, that is that classic British workmanship.
That's
as soon as you touch the ground, they're straight in there with a tombstone ready to go.
Stiff upper lip, just get on with it, put the tombstone up and move on.
Come on. I know they're worms, but let's build them a tombstone immediately.
That is what I thought.
Sensible Software was the name of the people who or the company, and they made a game called Sensible Soccer. Which is my favorite video game name.
Yeah. The most British developer name as well.
Yeah.
Sensible Soccer.
Everybody likes soccer, but let's not be silly about it.
Yes.
Up next, and we are going alphabetical, so this is another C, what I think is one of the most boring things ever created. Comedy of Adam Knox.
Yes. Funny.
It's many things, but it is not boring.
Yeah.
I
wish it was boring. Boring comedy is in these days. Anyway, Championship Manager.
Championship Manager / Football Manager. Now,
no interest.
Yep. Adam, anything to say?
I am Harvey Norman because I have no interest.
Put a TV off then the other day.
Was it interest free?
I mean, a month and a half ago.
I'm Dick Smith because I have absolutely closed off to this discussion about Championship Manager.
And occasionally, I think sexist. I think he's made some sexist comments.
I'm not literally the man Dick Smith. I'm the company Dick Smith that has since closed down.
Yeah.
I'm nothing like the man, but I respect him greatly. he makes the worst Vegemite. I like to think of this as Excel.
Yeah.
It is basically a spreadsheet simulator. And like you two, I have no interest. And I don't know if I would if I loved soccer. Mm. I think I probably still wouldn't. But people get fucking super into it.
Yeah. This really is just one of those games, though, where it's like, why don't you just go and do anything else? Like, if this is what you like in a video game, then clearly games are just like, why are you doing this?
Mm-hmm. You could be making millions of dollars with this exact same behavior.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, you could be like running MYOB for a giant company. Like, you could,
totally.
My other thing is like, why don't you just play FIFA? If you like soccer and you want to play a game.
But maybe you don't like soccer. You like being the soccer coach.
Yeah. And you're a psychopath.
Or not the coach. The
manager.
Manager.
Yeah.
I think it's in the title of the game, Adam.
I like soccer coaches, and that's why I play Truck Simulator. That
very,
type of coach.
Very nice.
Different type of coach.
Let's move on.
Please, let's.
Up next, DJ Hero.
I fucking love this game.
I never played it, but I always really, really wanted to. This was like in the sweet spot of me having like absolutely no disposable income whatsoever and it being a peripheral that carried with it. You know, this would have been like $160 or something to get that little sweet wheel.
Probably more at the time, I bet. Because
I have a vague memory of like, $200.
I definitely picked it up when shops were like, just take it.
Yeah.
We want this of the shelf because it's fucking huge, this box.
It
turns out mashups aren't that fucking marketable.
Right. And they were for a little while.
There was a little period of time where, like, I guess this is kind of in that point as well where, like, Girl Talk was real big.
Yeah.
But the
Super Mash Bros were very good.
It came along at the end of the...
They were real.
Mash Bandicoot.
That's good.
Mash Ketchum.
Okay.
That must be one.
That's good.
Mash Browns. Like hash
Yep.
Browns.
Yep.
Mash Wednesday.
Just M-A-S-H.
Yep.
What's this weird mash I have all over my dick?
Oh.
Some kind of sexually transmitted disease. Like rash.
Yes, I got it.
Keep reading.
This is right towards the end of like the Guitar Hero sort of crazy.
It was.
They did make two of them.
What was the second one called?
DJ Hero 2, I believe.
Interesting. This is weirdly a thing that I wish that I could get now. Like, I've actually thought about getting this. Like, how do I get it? What was it? Was it PS2?
PS3 and 360.
Right, okay.
And maybe a PC version? Probably not.
I
don't know. But it was... There's been similar peripherals to it as well. Like, this mentions it, the Beatmania stuff and all of those older PS1 style sort of things from the Japanese arcades.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really fucking fun. The music was good. Every one of the tracks was just like dumb and fun.
Right.
And the controller was actually really cool to use. It had three buttons on the turntable and you could spin the turntable the whole way around.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. So you'd have to do a combination of using those three buttons, moving like a mixing slider to the left and right,
yep.
and then or putting it in the center, and a just a button that you'd hit sometimes to like remix or whatever. And so sometimes you'd have to like hold the blue thing down, slide it to the left, and then spin the whole thing round a full 360 and catch it on the blue button again.
Right.
Which was super fucking fun.
Oh, it sounds great. Yeah. It sounds really cool.
Were you doing this with vinyl or CD? Because, you know, you're not a real, a real DJ unless
I had two iPods on the go.
I'd love for them to bring out Aux Cord DJ Hero. Mm. And it's literally just a controller that simulates your phone.
Yeah.
Player one Spotify. Has to play a driving simulator. Player two does that. And then player three and four have to sit in the back and just look at their phones.
Yeah. Complaining about what's being played.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one, something that I have no memory of, Dungeon Keeper.
Oh, I have a memory of this. This was a great game.
The least surprising thing you've ever said.
It was great. It was like a little sort of like a Sims RTS sort of thing where you'd create a dungeon and the hero would come in and it'd be like Mousetrap almost, and like you'd have to keep getting them on the various challenges and shit.
Right.
This is the one where you could go into any of your like minions' first-person views, right?
Yes, yeah, okay. Yes.
I remember that about this and that being like a big deal at the time because it's like late or mid to 90s even.
Yes.
So that kind of thing was like super mind-blowing.
Totally. This I think this was a shareware one that I got from the supermarket. Never had the full game, but I remember, really liking it a lot.
Bullfrog are one of those companies who people at EA, they were one of the early ones EA bought up.
Oh, really?
And people were like, oh, fuck you, EA.
They were so creative. They were a really creative company at this point in time.
What else did they do? I'm going to look them up because I remember Bullfrog being a big deal.
Mm.
It was like them and Westwood who made the Command and Conquer games.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Were like those first. Well, I'm just looking at the Wikipedia page for an actual Bullfrog.
Right, you got to check that disambiguation, bro.
Happy they to hear facts about to have the actual produced, Bullfrog.
Yeah, a toxin that they secrete through their skin.
Boy, these guys are wild. Video games are the wild.
Oh,
west
they come
back
into
then.
A pond.
It was like theme park and theme hospital.
Yeah,
and all those.
Theme hospital was the one that I actually did play a shit ton of from them. Yeah,
Populous and Syndicate. These are like big 90s PC games.
Only 90s kids will remember.
Yeah, but
remember Bullfrog? This is them now. Feel old yet?
Yeah,
they released a dog shit version of Dungeon Keeper on iOS
not
that long ago, and it was all just like, give us $5 was the game.
Sure. A good business model, but a bad game.
It's that we must have talked about this whole thing of how they're looking for whales with mobile games.
Yeah, well, yes.
It's ridiculous.
And just microtransactions. Mm. Yeah.
But like most people don't do it. The microtransactions. And you get like 10% who will do some, and then there's like 1% of people who will do $40,000.
Yeah. Well, Japanese games love whales. They've famously... They just hunt those whales.
If we're doing crook jokes, I was trying to work on one about this being a game about Joseph Fritzl, but I couldn't do it either. So,
I heard on the radio back in the middle of July that there's some Japanese company that's trying to overturn the no whale killing thing.
Right.
That's bold.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, this thing that you put in for all sorts of like very, very good humane reasons. Mm. How about you ever think about just going back on it?
Yeah.
Boy, we'd love to go out and harpoon some of them.
We just love the blubber. We just love it.
Man, Ahab Industries have got to stop. I don't know what their problem is.
Boys, we got to pick up the pace.
We do.
Elite.
Very old game. Probably unplayable now.
Mm-hmm.
Massively groundbreaking in terms of it's like open. It's No Man's Sky Zero.
Yes.
Or whatever. It's all about trading, more spreadsheets. It's probably boring.
Yeah. But Elite Dangerous, is that actually descended from Elite?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
It's I don't know if it's the same people, but it's probably in some way related. But that was back in the days of people sitting in their bedroom or garage just typing up games.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
One of the few on this list from that era, even though that sort of thing was massive in England at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Fable 2.
Love Fable 1. I don't think I've played 2. But,
why is 2 on here?
I think it was better. I think it was Fable was like, right. Oh, yeah, cool. You can like do a quest and there's funny little cartoon designs. And there was a relatively like living world in terms of an open world kind of RPG. But I think Fable 2 expanded on that in a massive way.
So it's all like Fable characters and stuff.
No.
It's just called Fable. It's just like
fantasy. It's a fantasy RPG. Yeah.
That would be a better game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lionhead as well, who made it, since we're focusing on the people. I liked Black and White back in the day.
I loved Black and White.
It was real good. And
I was a huge fan of Peter Molyneux and Lionhead. They were like, they were my shit. That was my absolute favorite company.
Peter Molyneux, do you remember him, Tommy? He's the dude.
I know
who
the
name. He would come out and be like, my next game is going to let you. This is kind of what he sounds like-ish. Yeah. It's going to let you do anything.
Yeah.
Anything in the world.
You control the world. You shape it to your whims.
You can
do. It is a new kind of game.
What you want, it comes out. It's like, oh, it's a Rubik's Cube. Just the biggest. Like, I think he had the best of intentions as well.
Absolutely. I think he was too ambitious for the technical capabilities of the time.
The movie's also a fucking awesome game.
Yeah.
Peter Molyneux kind of has faded into obscurity now.
Yeah.
He has his own company, I think, now, and they release a couple of phone games.
Right.
But, yeah.
Yeah. He was in the wrong time, I think.
Yeah.
Mate, I think he's just probably kind of bad at reining himself in and actually doing managerial work and maybe shouldn't have been at the head of their creative team.
Hates championship manager, that guy. He's awful at it.
Next up, Geometry Wars Retro Evolved.
A bad name, a fucking awesome game.
Retro Evolved, that's just now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's this podcast.
Yeah.
It's sort of from the past, but it's in the future.
It's currently mid-August.
It's present.
It's a top-down, it's asteroids like mixed with... like taking ecstasy at a rave. It's good. It's really, really good. It was originally a little game you could play in the garage when you'd look at your cars in Project Gotham 2.
Oh, wow.
And then they put it out on the 360. It was like one of the early downloadable games.
Right.
And that made it go real big. And it was always really good. And Bizarre Creations, who made it, the people who made Project Gotham, and I fucking loved the Project Gotham games back in the day.
Nice.
You drove around the place, right near New York, Chicago.
Or Metropolis.
Whichever one.
Okay, now we got two big boys in a row. GoldenEye 007.
Haven't heard of this one.
Okay.
Are you serious?
I haven't played the first six. Will I need to have played this one?
Oh, that's good shit.
I'm smarting from how good that was. Yes, this would be... Oh, no, actually, the one under it is also pretty massive. But yeah, this would be one of the biggest games to come out of Britain.
Yep.
Certainly the most lasting impact. Although, to play it now, I haven't gone back to it in a very long time. I don't think it would be very playable.
It's a real... 90s kids one.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's for people of a certain age, it was just the video game.
It's got that ubiquitous thing where it's like everyone, regardless of whether you grew out of video games or not, whether you had a video game console.
Or were really into video games.
Yeah, everyone of our age has at least one memory of like sitting up all night at a friend's house playing GoldenEye Deathmatch.
If you've ever sat on like the tour bus of a Wu-Tang tour, I bet you've played this as well.
Sure.
I always associate it with the back of a tour bus 64.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Is it because you grew up on a tour bus?
I did. I'm that kid from Almost Famous.
Yeah.
Except I was like a toddler.
That would be great if they redid Almost Famous, but instead of it being like some light rock band, it's like rappers. It's just so full on.
Yeah. The place going down and they're like, fucking try it. I'll fuck you up, ground. Rareware, the most to me instantly recognizable as British developer on this list.
I agree.
Yeah.
That was always their thing, was that we're the British ones.
Yep.
In Banjo-Kazooie and Conker and everything, very much a British kind of sense of humor in all the writing of their games and the vernacular that the characters would use and stuff. They were very like, very keen to put a stamp on it, where I think a lot of other games in this list, I think a lot of game developers tend to feel like it's important to have some kind of like you know, make the game feel like it could have come from anywhere.
Yeah.
Or specifically that it came from America.
America.
Well, yeah.
The same as with most movies and like most singing and everything. It's all very Americanized.
Yes,
and like,
yes.
Because that is in people's heads the default and, you know,
yeah.
Which like is weird. It's the Hollywood thing. It's like the dominant, you know, Western culture.
And which with GoldenEye, they kind of did do because it's a James Bond game. Mm. Weirdly.
Yeah.
Even though he's a fucking British
the
dude.
The most British guy.
But it's a super American thing for some reason.
Mm.
This was their first 64 game, I think. Or no, I think maybe Blast Corps came out before this.
Possibly.
Ah.
And then from this they go on to, which is funny that they make this very, like quite, you know, like it's a shooter and everything. Mm. And then they become, after this, most known for like your Banjo-Kazooies and everything. Mm. I guess they go back to it with Perfect Dark.
But even Perfect Dark, I think, was less sort of...
it's more future-y and...
And less full-on than GoldenEye seemed at the time in terms of the violence and stuff.
Right,
yeah.
I feel maybe I'm kind of wrong about that because I remember them. No, because in GoldenEye, they if you shot parts of their limbs, they would bend and go, "Ow, my fucking arm!"
Right? Mm. Yeah,
they wouldn't
say,
"Ow, my fucking arm!"
"Ow, me fucking arm!"
"My fucking arm's
you
been knackered.
Shot me arm off."
people would be covered in. People would kind of in multiplayer at least they'd have like blood patches and stuff on them, wouldn't they? Like if you're taking a lot of hits,
It's like maybe my least favorite of their games on the 64 even.
I agree. Yeah.
Because it was like Bindi Irwin Com Racing after this.
Oh, that was an Australian game.
Yeah.
And then all the Banjo-Kazooies and whatever. And yeah, definitely Banjo-Kazooie and Tooie were my highlight from Rare on the 64. And I guess ever because they kind of dipped off pretty heavily after the 64. But yeah, super British people. Everyone knows what Rare is. Also, I guess Lionhead pretty British because like Fable especially, everyone would be like, hello, chicken chaser.
That's absolutely true, yes. Yeah.
But then, speaking of Americanized British games, Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, yeah.
You like that little drum roll with the R there?
Yes. Grand Theft Auto. GTA, what a fucking big game.
Yeah.
We've talked about GTA.
This would be the biggest franchise out of England.
The world.
Yeah, it may be the biggest franchise in the world.
Yeah.
But like in terms of a ratio of games made to units sold, it probably is. Like the biggest one is probably Mario just through fucking how many games there have been and how long it's been around.
Yeah.
Sure.
But
or
yeah,
Call of Duty or something.
GTA 5 is literally the biggest game in the world.
Yeah.
Yes. If not
in terms
Fortnite.
Of money it is.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess.
I reckon Fortnite and GTA Online would be about the same now maybe. But for before the existence of Fortnite, yes it was. Yeah.
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 Well, is it still like the biggest day one sales or like it has the record for some kind of like money made just in terms of like sales in the first week or something like that?
It's massive, it is. And you can smell the Britishness in it with the, as we've said in the past, to our minds, poor humor.
Sure.
Yes.
In the game.
Sure.
Like a British person is putting 69 on the back of every football player or whatever is in them.
Sure. That actually makes this humor a little bit less shitty if you go like, well, this is like a British sense of humor in an American world.
This is the Brits taking the piss out of their interpretation of America, but you don't register it as that. You register it as like, it's so big that it's like, oh, this is a piss take of America.
It feels to me like that shitty type of British humor as well that's on some of the sitcoms and stuff over there of just like,
over where?
You know, over in England.
Right, you said over there.
Mm.
Oh, over. Well, no, yeah, I'm in Scotland.
Oh, you're in Scotland. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah,
sure,
yeah.
They have different humour in Scotland.
Yes.
Yeah, it's mid-August.
it's funny that the first GTA is it's set in America, isn't it? The top-down one, and then the second one.
Oh, yeah, the second one is set in London.
That's very funny that they go, got to get some British shit in here at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then in the mid-2000s, do you remember Getaway?
Yeah,
which was set in the UK and by all accounts sucked. I don't remember it. But, yeah, the fact that they've never gone back
to
London, I guess.
To jolly old England.
Yeah.
Mm.
Could be great.
It could be fucking, like, I would like to see them do something a bit different for the next one.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, obviously... Oh, well, Red Dead is San Diego.
Is it?
Red Dead is Rockstar San Diego, I think. Right. I don't believe that, like, Rockstar North, which is the ones who made Grand Theft Auto, is the same studio as Red Dead. I could be talking out of my ass, but I'm pretty sure they're two different groups of people.
Yeah, okay. very British. Are they still based in the UK? Is, like, their main one still based in the UK?
I think so. I'd have to look it up. I'm not the, you know, whoever would be in charge of that. The tax accountant sort of group?
The tax accountant.
Sort of group.
What am I, from passport control?
Ah, yeah. Right, customs.
So, yeah, Rare and Rockstar, GTA Rockstar, two biggest ones, two least necessary to talk about because we've got a Bandcamp episode all about GTA.
Yeah. Yes.
And I reckon Rare will be a good shot for us to do one about them in the future.
Yep. That's fair.
Lego Star Wars. Never played one of these gosh darn Lego games.
Are they all British?
Yeah, probably.
I think sure
they must not be now.
No, they pump out so many of. I think like three have come out. There's an Incredibles one that came out within the last 2 months.
They do like DC villains. They do fucking Harry Potter. They do every
Lord of the Rings is the one I've played.
Anything that's below like M rated,
yep,
they will do as a Lego game.
But this was the first one, right? Lego Star. I think this was the first one.
I mean, there were Lego games before it, but this was the first like sort of tie into a movie.
Yeah, and I remember kind of wanting to play it at the time, and yeah, I mean, people. This is one that people talk fondly about, but yeah, that's a series that just exists for someone else.
They're boring. I've played like demos of a couple or something.
Yeah. I just like Lego. What I like about Lego is not the aesthetic; it's building things. Yes. That's the satisfying part.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. This might as well be the Emoji Movie or whatever because it's just some sort of dumb aesthetic, like you've said, that isn't necessarily appealing outside of its initial purpose.
Yes. Yeah.
I've just said what you said, but longer.
Yeah, kinda.
But I like to build.
Hey,
and I was building on that point.
You were saying you agree, which I appreciate.
I wasn't saying that. It wasn't my intention.
You were saying, Ben, you're right, and I respect you.
Next up, we got Lemmings. We talked about Lemmings in our MS-DOS episode for Bandcamp.
This is DMA Design, who transitioned into being Rockstar North.
Yes.
Right,
For those history buffs out there.
Not much more to say about this game.
A fucking great game.
Fond memories of it back in the day.
Lemmings was fucking ubiquitous at some point.
Yeah.
It was on everything. And
it was like Minesweeper, Lemmings, and Microsoft Flight Simulator were on every PC.
Yeah.
It was the Skyrim of its day. I think it's better than Skyrim.
Yeah.
Lemmings is fucking awesome and I miss it. Now's the time for a Lemmings reboot.
I love a Lemmings reboot.
Yeah.
We talked about this on the MS-DOS episode that they, like many franchises, they had a crack at 3D and they kind of fucked it. Like people weren't really into it. But now, like, surely they could. Actually, they'd know how to do it because, you know, people were still trying to work out, how's this 3D stuff really work?
Nowadays, you don't need to do 3D as well.
Yeah, it's the 2D renaissance.
You can go back, have it on a fucking iPhone. Who cares? Touchscreen. Yeah. Oh, man. Probably is that already. But, like, I don't know. There's got to be some new little secret sauce you can dip into the Lemmings soup.
Yeah. Yes. Is there a Lemmings on iOS? I'm going to look it up.
Mm.
I'm going to look this up.
But Lemmings is, everyone knows what Lemmings is, but it's a fucking sick game.
It's like, it's the Tetris of Britain. Like, Tetris is such a great invention of a style of game that Russia just, nailed. And the British people were like, hey, let's do something where it's different and good.
Oh, God. There's nothing but bad clones.
Oh.
Ants. Sticklings.
I prefer a lemming's life.
It's pretty ironic that there's all these people sort of following lemmings step by step, just copying what they do.
Oh, why?
Well, because it's like what ants do.
Ah,
Little Big Planet.
A game that you famously hate.
Yeah, well, I hate the way it controls.
Yeah.
And that is the basis around which the rest of the game is supposed to be built.
I don't like this game either.
It just felt shitty to move around.
Yeah,
in, right?
I bought it when I first bought my PS3.
Yeah.
First time coming over from Nintendo to a non-Nintendo console and thought, okay, this is the platformer on here. It looks kind of, like the sort of stuff I enjoy. And I was just like, oh, is this what they're doing over here? This feels like shit.
It was massively different. Like that style, the little baubles and the textures and stuff. It was very
I liked the way it looked, distinct. Kind of.
I really liked the way it looked. But yeah, I had a similar problem. It was just a bit imprecise.
Just felt bad.
It was slippery and to build something around, like the whole idea with Little Big Planet, for anybody who doesn't know, because I guess it has been sort of a while.
Yeah.
It was Super Mario Maker.
Yep.
You would go in and you could build, but it was a lot more expansive, so you could build all these weird different things or build platforming levels and do a bunch of stuff with that.
But it still did have just a campaign where you were just playing a single
Which player always stuff, just felt like a sort of showroom for what you could do with it.
It also was like one of the earliest games that I played where there was like sort of general open to everyone co-op or messages or tips and hints left behind on every level in that single player campaign. There was a lot of online sort of functionality.
Yeah.
And so you'd move around. It was just a side-scrolling thing, but there were three levels of depth that you could go between, and it was unclear to see which one you were at.
Yeah.
Then the jumping, you would float about the place. You'd have to grip onto stuff with the L and R buttons.
That's right.
That was the bit I hated the most.
It did not feel good to do.
Yeah. It was slow platforming.
Totally.
Yes.
So
it was slow and imprecise platforming, which are like the two opposite things to what you want from that genre.
Totally.
And
totally.
People made interesting shit with it because it had a really powerful and I think easy to use sort of level creation tool that was narrated by Stephen Fry.
Yeah.
That's right.
But it just didn't feel good. So why would you make anything?
Mm.
Media Molecule, who made this, are now working on that Dreams game,
yes,
which is sort of an expansion of this idea of, you know, user created content and all of that.
Mm.
The Joseph Gordon-Levitt model, and I still have no idea what that Dreams game is.
Yep.
But if it has any of the sensibilities in terms of how it actually plays that Little Big Planet did, then boo.
Boo.
Bad game. Manhunt.
Oh. I remember this being the game that all my cool friends were super into. Like, all the fucking edgelords of high school were like, man, you can bash a guy's head in with a hammer. Dude, I never, like...
It's crazy. You can beat the shit out of a guy. Now I'm going back to listen to my music. This is the anthem. Throw all your hands up. That was quieter because it was in his headphones.
Yeah. This was in the news heaps for, like, being censored and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
This was, like, one of those, it's been 10 years since Mortal Kombat and have video games finally gone too far.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
You could. It's a murder simulator. This is Rockstar North again, by the way.
Yeah. Yep.
I never played this game. Did you play it?
No. I watched over someone's shoulder while they played it, and I was like,
you were like crouching behind a couch.
You were scared.
No, they were like, come and check it out. I'm like, I don't. Sure. Like, I loved GTA 3.
Yeah.
That was a violent game, but this was just like. I don't know. The guys who were like, I watched R18 horror movies when I was 13 and I was like, I'm too scared of them.
Yeah.
I don't get the appeal.
Yeah. I saw From Dusk Till Dawn when I was 9 years old.
Yeah.
It didn't have an impact on me. It's like, dude, you're strangling a cat while you talk to it. You're literally not even aware that you're doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're erect as the life is draining out of its eyes.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. All I've got to go in is the movie, and I think that might have done something.
Mm.
I remember one thing about this game, other than the fact that it was like, so it was like a game show and you had to go around and stab people and kill them and then you'd win the game show, right?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. It was like Murder World. We live in a world owned by a man who loves murder and you get,
dude.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen
Trump's America?
Oh, is he still in power in August?
Maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen Series 7? It's a movie about, it's like a fake reality show and it's, it's like each season, it's just like 8 people get picked at random out of a national lottery and you get given a gun and it's like whoever's the last person standing.
Yes.
They win and then they go on to the next series.
Right.
And so it's called Series 7 because it's the 7th series of this show and I think there's this woman who is like the carryover champ. I think she's won all of them.
Yeah.
And so it's meant to be like, and it came out, I think like 2003 or something, around the time of like reality TV, you know, sort of taking hold. It's like, this is what it could turn into.
Sure.
And I saw it when I was like 15 and went, this is the coolest movie I've ever seen. And I would like show it to everyone. I had it on VHS.
Oh, no.
I loved it. And then I think when I was like 25 or whatever, I went back to watch it. I'm like, I've never been so embarrassed in my whole life by something that I used to like. A shitty band or something is not half it. It's just is so badly made and on the nose and just the most clunky point that at the age of 15 I was like, whoa, man, because we are heading this way if we're not careful.
And that's kind of what life is like.
Yeah, the simple life is poison.
That kind of reminds me of this game Manhunt that Rockstar North made. I remember that you, if you wore a microphone while you were playing this game, it would measure, it would like, if you made too much noise, that the people around would react to it.
Oh, right.
By going, why are you wearing a microphone in a single player game?
Yeah.
But yeah, that was like a dumb feature that.
That is dumb.
That is so dumb.
Don't wear the microphone. You won't get found.
Yeah, the ultimate. It's like taping up your mouth if you're going on a stealth mission.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like taping up the.
No one's going to be able to hear my breath if I tape up my nostrils and mouth.
It's like taping up the camera on your laptop if you're going to jack off in front of it.
Yeah, man. It's a cool idea.
Yeah. And safe.
It's annoying.
Cyber
in
safety.
By the way, I do that.
Yeah.
And twice in the last 2 months, I've been on Skype calls for business that have begun with like blackness on their end. And they just see me like visibly peeling tape off my camera. And there's no other reason to be doing that.
You could just do it dramatically, like ta-da,
hello.
You know, like tearing through a curtain.
Yeah.
Let me just turn the light on, and then as I'm peeling off a Band-Aid, just I go click.
All right, I got this list in front of me now. Software Projects is the exciting name of the developer who made Manic Miner / Jet Set Willy. Two games that sound like they were made up for an episode of The Simpsons.
Yes. Yes. Fuck. I've never heard of either of these.
I've heard of Manic Miner, but I don't know what it is. I'm assuming it's about a miner. The sequel, Depressive Miner, is a lot worse.
Yeah.
It just doesn't get out of bed. You can't even tell he's a miner.
Mm-mm.
Jet Set Willy, man named Willy, probably got a jetpack.
Yeah.
Let's move on. Got nothing to say about those
let's
two.
Do.
This is a good one. Micro Machines.
Fuck yeah.
Great.
Man, I loved these games.
Very good.
Micro Machines games were fucking awesome.
SNES? Yeah. Am I SNES?
I think there was one. There was maybe like a 5-6 year period where they can't, whatever. They came out on everything, right?
Yeah, I think so. I played them on the Mega Drive back in the day. But one and two. Two had on the Mega Drive two little extra controller ports in the cartridge.
What?
So you could do four players.
Hell yes.
Fucking awesome.
That's great.
Top-down driving, you had to try and be as far forward on the screen as you could because if you fell back too far, the other player would get a point.
Yes. I remember at the one I first played it being very pissed off by it because I was used to, you know, you're behind the cart kind of viewpoint.
Right, and it was just isometric, right? Sort of?
Just top-down.
Top was
down,
it actually top-down?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And I remember just being like, why isn't this just made in a different way? This is really annoying. But then that kind of, having to... Like actually dying if you fall behind.
Mm.
Such an interesting little twist on it.
All the levels using the thing of them being small little micro machines as well. And so you were driving over ruler bridges between desks and shit.
Yeah.
Was really fucking cool. These games were awesome.
For our younger listeners, it's like the movie Ant-Man where he goes small and he fights on like a train, like a toy train set.
Yeah.
It's that.
And a lemming is like these things we used to talk about that nobody brings up anymore.
Mm.
And the myth was that they followed each other off of cliffs, but they didn't actually. Walt Disney just kicked them off or something.
Something like that, yeah.
Have fun in Disneyland, boys.
They did a track kind of reminiscent of this in Mario Kart 8. It's like a kid's bedroom. It's like where you'd ribbon road or something.
Yep. Yeah,
where
yeah,
you can
yeah.
see all these like toys of like, stuff in the distance. Good stuff.
Really good stuff.
Micro Machines, I reckon, would hold up very well today as well. So go
I
back
agree.
If you have any interest. New Star Soccer by Simon Reed in 2012. We can skip.
An iOS game.
Sorry, Simon.
Don't know what it is, but Simon.
Simon says, let's move on.
Paradroid.
Yeah, when I was scanning through this list, this was a skip one for me.
Yeah.
I remember it being significant and I don't remember why. I think you could overtake other robots' bodies.
Oh.
Something like that. It was one of those, again, one person made it back in the day.
Right.
ZX Spectrum type things.
Sweet.
Bullfrogger back. Populous.
Yeah. We mentioned that earlier. That's, it's a good game.
City builder type thing, right?
You're
a god.
Yeah.
I'm just going to read out the entry here on of this.
Okay.
The game that established Peter Molyneux mm-hmm. as one of Britain's most storied and at times controversial designers came about through a misreading of the phone book.
Yeah, that's the type of guy he is. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
The PC manufacturer Commodore called Molyneux's office Taurus, called Molyneux's company Taurus to offer the use of its computers by accident. They meant to call Taurus, T-O-R-U-S.
Mm-hmm. Molyneux
went along with the call, secured some computers for his studio, and the result was the first GodSim. Mm. That hasn't explained anything.
Well, Peter Molyneux stole some computers.
Yeah. Right.
And he was like, well, I can use these to make a game.
I think I could be a god.
Yeah. But yeah, I never played this, but this was, basically a black and white, you know, like a god sim.
Yep. Race Driver Grid.
Never played it. It's a racing game.
Mm. Yep.
Codemasters again.
Oh, yes.
They were Micro Machines.
Yep.
Oh, right.
And a few others too. They had a lot of. I remember them being one of those big. They would always have their logo very big on the box. And I remember seeing them a lot, like when I would go into like PC shops that sold computer games.
They were the masters of code.
Rome Total War.
These games are fucking sick.
Oh, so who makes these?
Creative Assembly.
Right.
These
are fucking great games.
They've made a bunch of fucking sick ones. Alien Isolation is also made by them.
They're fucking awesome.
One of the best games of this generation.
Yep.
It never gets the props it deserves.
Agreed.
Those props being a fake throne and a fake crown.
This next one is one that is surprising to me that it's on this list. SingStar.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Mm. Sony London.
I'm surprised
London.
That it's British.
I mean, they created Pop Idol, the Brits. Yeah. So, you know. They love.
Wait, no, that was Idol that made that noise.
Yeah.
SingStar, I always fucking hated.
I never have played it, and I never understood how you would. Like, how do you sing a game? How does it know?
They're two different pitches and it just registers your pitch. So you can do it in any octave as well.
Right.
It figures out, it's a, you know, how
it's
you
like
can,
a tune, a
it's
guitar
a guitar
tuner.
Tuner completely.
Okay. Wow.
That's the only thing it does. But I remember every single fucking time something would be off about the way that it told you to sing it. So you would sing it correctly to the track, it felt like at least. And it would not have that little bit that happens in the song. So if a song goes ba da ba da ba, it would tell you to just go ba 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 ba.
Right.
You know, like it didn't contain every little bit.
Kind of like how if you're playing Guitar Hero on a lower level.
Yes.
It's only doing like every fifth note. Like
and
if you actually know anything about guitar, it's like kind of frustrating.
Right. Completely. It can be more difficult to play it on a lower level because you'll hit notes that aren't there.
Yeah. Because you're wanting to like
such a good singer.
You are though. You are genuinely a very good singer. Mm.
Thank you. But like it is, I don't know. They made a million of them and people love them. And they've made some like good innovations of how like you can sing into your phone so you can have eight people playing at once or whatever.
And it's still going strong, yeah?
I believe it's...
Like that and Just Dance just keep coming out every year.
At some point it was a free app on the PS3.
Right.
SingStar and you just bought individual tracks or whatever.
Yeah.
I never understood the appeal of doing this as opposed to just like going out and getting blind and doing karaoke.
Mm.
It's because you're a 12-year-old. I think is the appeal, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, it's more for children's
My
birthdays.
My point still stands.
Yeah. Get drunk, kids.
Yeah. Get maggot.
It's so much fun and it never leads to problems.
Yeah, yeah. It never impacts your life in a negative way.
Anyway,
only positive.
Here in mid-August, I'm happy to say that I've completely finished Dry July. And it went well and it wasn't even difficult.
School Days.
SKOOLDAZE.
Hell yes.
This game came out in 1984 and has the most 90s name.
Yeah.
That's so crazy. David and Helen Reedy made it, and those guys absolutely can predict the future.
Yes.
If they created School Days in 1984.
Fucking hell.
What
is it?
Played it, boys?
No idea.
Yeah. No clue whatsoever.
Yeah.
A little platformer like kind of game where you're sneaking around a school.
Yeah. Another one of those sort of ZX Spectrum ones. Yeah. They all look very similar to me.
Right.
Games from that era, honestly.
Speedball 2 Brutal Deluxe.
This is the one that killed River Phoenix, I believe.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It was playing this at the back of the Viper Lounge.
Yeah. And, the Viper Lounge, also a great game.
Yes.
But the Bitmap Brothers. Yeah, this is another Amiga one. I remember reading in magazines that people love this.
Right.
It's a death sport thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like a
rollerball.
Exactly. Mm. But, never played it personally.
Yeah, me either. TXK.
TXK.
Oh, okay. Jeff Minter is the guy who made Tempest.
Right.
You know, Tempest, the one where you're going down a tunnel and you're spinning around the tunnel and shooting stuff that's coming towards you in the tunnel.
No, you'd know, but I can visualize it.
If you'd seen, like, if you saw a screenshot, you'd recognize it.
Yeah.
He made this. Nothing about it.
I can see a screenshot of TXK and, sure. It's well reviewed. 8 out of 10 from GameSpot. 8.2 out of 10 from IGN. Looks like a fun game. Not the kind of game that I ever have the urge to sit down and thrash out for a few hours, yep. I would say.
There's a VR version of Tempest, I believe, that looked cool.
Right.
But I haven't played it.
Mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm. It looks like Thumper. Thumper is looks like a similar game.
Yeah. Nah.
No?
They look similar, though. They do have similar visual styles.
Yeah, yeah.
But Thumper's like a rhythm game, and these are more like...
just like
space
a shooter.
Space invaders.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Right. Okay.
Very popular one, Time Splitters 2.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah.
Very I never played game. This, though.
Man, Time Splitters 2 was fucking awesome. So this is a lot of the people from Rare who made GoldenEye and Perfect Dark. Or I guess just GoldenEye. They might have left before Perfect Dark.
Yeah, yeah.
But they splintered off and made this Free Radical Design. And they made those Time Splitters games. And I don't know what they do now. I think they made Haze. Remember fucking Haze for the PS3?
Don't.
It's because it sucked. And I remember at the time...
Crisis.
Yeah.
They made Crisis 2 and 3.
Yeah,
apparently.
2 and 3, that makes sense.
Well, oh, yeah, yeah. Because the first one was by Crytek or whoever. Yeah. I love the Crisis games. But I never played Time Splitters 1. I might have played Time Splitters 2.
They made fucking Homefront. As well.
Oh, yes, they did.
Because there was a full Time Splitters level hidden in Homefront 2.
Right.
I think it was a Time Splitters 2 level. So the opening is like a dam, kind of like GoldenEye 64.
Mm-hmm.
Time Splitters 2 in particular was fucking fun. There wouldn't be any point in going back to play it these days, I wouldn't imagine.
Yeah.
But the only thing that I remember being bad about it is that when you aimed, it didn't just move the screen immediately, you know, with the right stick. It would move the gun in like this sort of square in the center of the screen. So it would just sort of point a cursor for a while and then got to the edge, it would move.
Yeah, yeah, I have the memory of it.
Almost like a Wii game, you know?
A few games did that, yeah.
Real annoying.
Yeah.
But was very, very fun at the time, particularly multiplayer was a strength of it.
Yes, and this is Time Splitters 2 is a game that a lot of people mention as like an old classic favorite.
Tomb
Raider.
Yeah, yeah, cool.
She's British.
She's British.
They're British. Core design.
Yep.
Like it's not British made anymore, I guess.
No.
For, what is it, Eidos or what? I guess it was Eidos then. Whoever it is now that makes it, I think are in Canada or something.
Fuck yeah, who is it now?
It's Square Enix publish it, but I don't remember who I can't remember who it is. These original Tomb Raider games, I never really liked that much.
I knew I was supposed to like them because they were very popular, but I found them very difficult to play.
They looked very blocky
it was like that early 3D thing where it didn't feel right yet.
Yeah.
And it felt like controlling a tank sort of thing.
But they had a good way of creating atmosphere and a sense of location and adventure with fuck all. You know, the textures were so shitty. It was just like good design, I think. Crystal Dynamics make Tomb Raider now.
That's right.
That might have frustrated some
people. What do Core Design do now? I'm going to look that up as well.
Maybe they don't exist anymore.
Now, one of the big innovations about Tomb Raider was...
Tomb Raider?
Tomb Raider.
Yes.
Tomb Raider is the Tomb
the
Raider.
Educational.
It just words show up on the screen and you have to type them to shoot the T-Rex.
Yes. Very good.
One of the big innovations with Tomb Raider was the invention of pretending that there were nude codes in a game in a magazine.
Yes.
I fucking... The level of humor that there was in a lot of magazines at the time of like, get a load of Lara Croft's tits.
Yeah.
That was a low point. And it was British magazines in particular
would it
so much worse.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can quickly find this thing that I retweeted the other day. Speaking of video game. Yeah. This killed me. Someone tweeted a thing of like a photo of like an old letters page from a video games magazine.
Mm.
And it's like someone's done a drawing of Sonic taking a piss on Mario. And it's like, this is the letter of the month. And this one has won a T-shirt.
Oh.
And they've written, it's a rip-roaring corker. This masterpiece sent a tit around the office. The caption is, Sonic pisses all over Mario.
What a caption.
Jason Fowler of Spixworth, Norwich is the lucky bleeder who wins our first prize pick Sega Force T-shirt.
Oh,
we've
so
seen
British.
Mario blown to pieces, squashed, squeezed and spitted, but we've never seen him humiliated like this before. Nice work.
Wow. That, like...
You absolute bleeder.
That tone is so... Like, everything in every British video game magazine was written exactly that way.
Yeah.
Like, the reviews everything were like, this bloody fluffer's got a nutball.
This one sent a tit around the office. It's like, how easily amused is it? An office full of grown adults laughing at some puerile drawing that a 10-year-old did.
When you hear the word titter, this is something genuinely I've never been able to figure out. What do, like, do a laugh that is a titter? You try, Tommy.
I'm sort of with...
It's not a laugh that I've ever heard anyone actually make in real life.
Never, ever, ever.
It's an invented cartoon laugh.
Yes.
Like, the closest I could get to a genuine noise, it would be like a titter. It's like...
I think like a...
Yeah,
it's... He covered his mouth.
Yeah.
Everybody knows as well.
Like, when you're at the movies and, like, someone makes a good call about one of the ads that's playing, you're like...
I think it's sort of a titter. I think it's close to a snicker. But a little cheekier, you know, a little more reserved, a little cheekier than a snicker.
I feel it's a bit feminine, the word, the titter, titter laugh.
Yes, I agree.
It, it gives a feminine feel to me.
I don't know. I don't think it's a genuine laugh.
No, I agree there. It's,
A guffaw? Now, that's a laugh I can picture.
Oh, man, love letting rip with a big old guffaw.
Dude, if
so
I saw
good.
A fucking... photo of Crash Bandicoot pissing on Sonic, who was pissing on Mario, I would guffaw.
Mate, you'd be fouring it right up.
Yeah,
I would
be guffawing.
Yeah.
UFO enemy unknown.
This is XCOM.
Okay. Good for
XCOM,
them.
Give it to you.
Mm.
Mythos Games is the name of the people, again, just because, you know, British. Yeah, I don't know. I like those recent XCOM games.
Mm-hmm.
I've never really played this original one, but people love it in the same way and say it was like more complex and at the time kind of crazy. But yeah, those recent ones, who I assume are made by different people.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
And then the final one on our list, Wipeout.
Wipeout is the funniest game show on television.
Yep, agree.
Watching them people getting flung in the mud.
Yep.
People falling into water.
Dude.
Imagine.
Yeah. It's so much funnier when I know that that guy's an accountant as well. When they give you a bit of backstory in those people, it's like, fuck yeah. Just a random person falling in mud? Dude, let me know that person's got a job.
Yes.
Never played one of these. I've got the remaster collection or whatever it was that came out like a year ago on the PS4.
Omega collection.
Never properly dipped in, but love F-Zero, love that sort of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like Nintendo are never going to make an F-Zero game again, so I should just probably buddy up to the old Wipeout franchise.
Wipeout's sort of different too because it feels a lot more like you're in control of a ship rather than like a thing that's stuck to the ground.
It was Pod Racer. It reminded me of the Pod Racer game.
Yeah.
I had Wipeout. I was a PS1 guy. I liked it. It was hard. It's very fast paced, like more so than most racing games.
Yeah. Yep.
Felt like you were losing almost. Like, yeah.
Yeah, totally. And at the time, it had such a fucking 90s, but like coolest, like genuinely unironically cool.
Yeah, like The Matrix. The Matrix and Wipeout and stuff.
Even
at the time.
Today, I would say it still looked cool though, and The Matrix hasn't aged as well.
Disagree.
But like Wipeout had this fucking awesome music that you would hear. Like it was a big part of giving that the PlayStation that early look of being like, this is for cool people.
Yes, I agree with that. Yeah. Yes.
Well, that's
the Wipeout
it, boys.
Games. Yeah, real good.
That's it.
Yeah. Psygnosis, by the way.
Pardon?
Psygnosis.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. Well, that's it. That's a few surprises in there, that being companies we didn't know were British. But we did it. We did it, boys.
Just a little salute to some of those British developers out there.
Yep. So out
just
of my...
a little bit of a... How do the British salute?
I think the classic one is theirs, right?
The regular old military sort of salute.
Palms down, hand facing forward, sort of... angled at a 45-degree angle.
Adam, continue enjoying Edinburgh.
Thank you very much. It's lovely over here. I've been having a great time. Thanks to everyone who's come to the shows.
Yep.
It's mid-August.
Guys, we've got our website, filthycasuals.com.au. The show is on Patreon if you would like to support it. You know, we're all flat broke at the moment. None of us can afford to travel, so we can really afford some money in our coffers. But yes, that is very much appreciated, everyone who continues to support the show.
We are pushing towards a goal. We want to reach that goal of doing video content with this show.
Yes.
I think we're about... what, like a third of the way there?
Right.
A little bit over that, maybe?
I just want to mention quickly as well, this has been a British video game special, even though I'm in Scotland. I quickly Googled Scottish video game developers. There's two articles that say the Scottish video games industry is surging, that the Scottish video games industry is healthier than it's ever been.
Oh, that's good to hear.
So congratulations. Good, we haven't named any of your developers.
Yep. And we can't think of one of your games off the top of our head.
Yeah, but sounds like it's doing great.
Yeah.
Yeah, filthycasuals.com.au. Thanks very much for listening. We'll see you next week. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals...
I'll see you later, blighty mate. Bloody thanks for the banter, lads. I'll bloody fucking see you later there, mate. But
I'll have faded out by then.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.